This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Hi there, welcome to this special edition of Clan Chat. I'm Craig Anderson and we're bringing you the full interview we did with Scott Pitt last week when he talked at length about his life and career. Now, you would have heard the abridged version on last week's Clan Chat show, so we decided to package the full thing for you to hear in its entirety as Scott takes us through his life and career in the sport and explains that year at Manchester Storm. So here he is, Clan's all-time top scorer and how his journey began.
Yeah, that's definitely an easy one. My parents got me into ice hockey when I was about 4 or 5 years old. The way my dad tells it is that he basically put me on skates and I was able to skate around all the other kids with ease kind of thing. So he said, all right, I got to get this kid into hockey and see what happens. We lived about 15 minutes outside the town that we were close to. We had a little spot backed into the woods, and my dad he built me my own rink, like within the woods. He tore down a bunch of brush and he put up boards, and I had my own personal rink, and he put up pot lights onto the trees so I could play at night. And I was just kind of obsessed from there on out.
How often were you out there?
I was out there every night I could, like as long as there was ice out there, it was great. We were out there all the time. So it was pretty amazing.
Fantastic. So when did you discover it was something that you could go on and do for a living? When did you realize that, hey, you know, you're actually quite good at it and could take it further?
I feel like growing up, I always had an edge on kids. I was playing with kids 2 years older than me for a lot of my minor hockey days. So it's kind of from there, like I created a passion for it, and I really discovered like I had a drive and I really wanted to do this, just like any other kid in Canada, I guess. So you just dream about playing in the NHL. So
what team did you follow as a kid?
I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Oh, who was your heroes back then?
It got to be Doug Gilmore for sure, but it's not easy following the Leafs at times, but I'm sticking with them till the end.
There you go. Definition of a fan. So you stepped up. So you stepped up from the junior system. You played in the CJHL, and you played with Gloucester Rangers and Orleans Blues. How much of an education was that for you in your late teens, as you looked to develop in the game at that point?
Yeah. So the CJHL is it's junior A back home. It's a great league. It's a great stepping stone league to go to either major junior or to the college route. But I definitely remember when I was 16 and I was eligible to play in Junior A, I got cut my first year and they sent me down to Junior B, and I just remember being so upset and I just wanted to make it so bad. So I really buckled down and worked really hard on my game, and sure enough, the next year I was able to make Junior A and I was over the moon and I just didn't want to stop there. So the junior system was definitely a good learning experience for me, and it helped me get to where I am now.
How tough is it for someone like yourself at such a young age? You get that rejection and it gives you the determination. Is it quite cutthroat at times?
Yeah, I mean, definitely at the time it was cutthroat. I mean, you just like, you work so hard and you want it so bad, and then for somebody to come down and tell you just this isn't your year, for whatever reason, it's tough to take as a kid for sure. But I felt I was strong enough to take the criticism and work on what they had talked to me about and come back stronger. So.
And they say as well, rejection can help you build character. I guess it's fair to say that. That's how it's worked out for you?
Yeah, I can absolutely agree to that.
So from then it was on to college, and you were at Mercyhurst for 4 years. What were you studying at the time?
I was studying sport business. So I did I did 4 years there, and I was able to graduate with a sports business degree.
So not only that, obviously, you were playing the game still. You had those 4 years in college, and I noticed when I looked at your record, thanks Elite Prospects, your points were picking up every year as well during this spell. How much did you work on that aspect of your game, the fact that you were a bit of a points getter, a goal scorer?
I'd say I worked on it quite a bit. When I was going to college, I got to meet a lot of new faces and get to know people and figure out what I wanted to do. And I quickly decided that a couple summers I would stay back at school with a couple of the guys. And it was great because we were able to live on the campus and then we could use all the facilities throughout the entire summer. So I really took advantage of that. And I used that to help develop my skills and become a better hockey player.
And of course, from there, it was the move to Florida in March 2011, the Everblades. How did that come about?
So your senior year in college, college hockey ends in March and then it's done. So the pro leagues are still going on for quite a while. If you're good enough and teams are interested and they need players, they'll pick college guys up to help them get through their seasons, whether they have injuries or they just are looking for you for the next year. So I was lucky enough to get in touch with an agent, and he helped me get to Florida. Basically, they were a couple bodies short, and they were going into the playoff time. So I talked to all my teachers for all my classes, and we decided I could finish all my classes online. And then I went out to Florida, and I was there for about a month and a half, and finished the year there. And then after, I came back and wrote my exams and graduated on time. So.
And I dare say it would have given you the hunger to go on in the game, playing at that level and developing even more.
Yeah, definitely. You get a taste of the pro career, which is, it's definitely different from college hockey. When you're in college, you're kind of, they kind of hand everything to you and push you along and with just like the off-ice stuff. And then when you get to pro, you're basically, you're on your own and you're expected to do everything by yourself. So you definitely learn that pretty quick. And it was a good experience. And then it helped me the next year after that.
And it was here you first played with a couple of guys called Mathieu Roy and Matt Becker. What was it like playing alongside them all those years ago?
It was amazing. Mathieu Roy was our captain at the time, and he was great. He's such like a leader on the ice with the way he plays the game hard, the way he commits to blocking shots, the way he scores those gritty goals. And he led us to a Kelly Cup championship, which is pretty amazing. I think it's 72 games. It's a grind in that league, and then you've got four series of seven games, and we were fortunate enough to win the whole thing. So, and he was our captain at the time, so that, I think that says a lot. Bex that year, him and I we were roommates, so that's when I first got to know Bex, and we had a fantastic year, and like I said, we won the whole thing, so there was a lot of happy days.
It's funny because I look at you and Beck's careers, and you've kind of followed each other around quite a bit. Obviously, you played with Glasgow. You had that spell together in Manchester as well, then came back to Glasgow. And there's almost parallels with Scott Tansky and Matt Stanish. There we go. Scott Tansky and Matt Stanish. You know, those two guys have been together a long, long time. They've been good friends, and here they are in Glasgow again. I mean, you must know each other inside out.
Yeah, for sure. We've obviously created a pretty good relationship and friendship, and we enjoy playing with each other. I think we complement each other really well on the ice, and it's always fun to continue that on year in, year out. So
now the following year, it looked like a bit of upheaval. You played for two ECHL sides that year, a little flirtation with the AHL as well, Greenville Road Warriors, and your spell at Las Vegas Wranglers, the two sort of longest. How do you reflect on that season? Was it a lot of upheaval?
I think it was a good year. It was a good year for me. I started out at the Connecticut American League camp, and this was the year of the lockout. So there definitely weren't too many spots available. I found myself as the last cut there, and I was pretty proud of that. And then I went down to Greenville. When they sent me down to Greenville, I didn't have as much success as I was hoping to. I wasn't playing the minutes I wanted to, obviously. And it just didn't seem like a good fit for me. And then eventually I got traded to Las Vegas, and I was over the moon with that decision by the coach, and I couldn't have picked up my bags and got to Vegas soon enough. So when I went to Vegas, it just seemed like a perfect fit on the ice, and then obviously off the ice was a pretty good time as well. But we had a lot of success as a team, and I met a lot of great people, and I loved playing there. And then as that, I believe we lost first round in 7 games, so that was tough. But after that year, it's kind of like the college thing. After that, you get a chance to go to the American League if teams are interested in you and they're short on bodies. So I was fortunate enough to go to Peoria and get 4 games in, just a little bit more experience before their season ended, because they weren't making the playoffs anyway, so they decided to take me on and help me out a little bit too. So I thought it was a good year overall, and I learned a lot, and I can take a lot away from it.
So Vegas, what is a 24, 25-year-old guy do in Vegas in his free time?
Vegas was a great setup. We lived about a mile straight down the Flamingo Street, which connects right to Las Vegas Boulevard. You're living in a nice, like, gated community. We had 2 pools, even though it actually does get pretty cold during the season. But near the end, it started to warm up, and you've got 2 little pools you can relax by. The rink is about a mile away from the strip as well, so it's really unique. You'll be warming up for games, and you can see the outline of the strip in the background, and it's kind of surreal at times.
Now, the one thing I noticed when doing my research, looking back on your career, is looking at the names of the guys who I think are familiar with Elite League fans now, that they're dotted all over the Elite League. I'm talking about guys like Drew Sheestill, who's at Coventry now, Matt Carter, who recently signed with Dundee, Adam Huseman, who's at Manchester Storm, among them. I mean, it just strikes me, it's a very small world in hockey, and it must be good playing here that you can see these guys that you've shared a locker room with in the past.
Yeah, that's kind of an understatement how hockey's such a small world, for sure. Especially playing in North America, you like playing in the East Coast, you meet a ton of guys in a year. It's crazy. Guys will be getting called up, they'll get sent down, there'll be injuries, there'll be trades. So there's kind of a constant flow of players coming and going, and you're trying to make the NHL ultimately. So there's so much movement. You meet so many different faces. It's great though, like, to see some of those guys over here now and catch up with them again. It's great, and it makes it easy too. Like, when you're trying to go to a different team or to a different league, you can kind of take a look at the roster and see who you might know. And like you said, it's such a small world that chances are you know someone who might know someone, and then you can kind of get some information on that team or that league and help you make a decision. So
2013, a decision was made by you to go on another adventure, and it was off to Germany in the DEL2 Ice Pirate and Kremitschau. What was the thinking behind that? At that stage in your career, was a move to Europe something that was always in the back of your mind?
Yeah, I was kind of ready to make a move. I gave North America 2 solid years to obviously see how far up I could make it and where I could stick. And I just thought I would be better off coming over to Europe and experiencing what Europe had to offer. For going to the German team, like, I was kind of basically relying on my agent. I didn't know too much about it, and he said the Delta would be a good fit for me, and it would be a good experience. So I was kind of just trusting him basically at the time.
But it was a campaign that was difficult. Relegation you flirted with. I think you survived eventually in this last playoff game. But how hard a year was that when you look back on your experience on the ice with the team?
It was a tough year for sure, standings wise. But I mean, realistically, we had the lowest budget in the league. We knew we were up against tough competition every night. It was tough to compete against some of those teams, but I thought we did fairly well considering. We had a couple guys that finished first and second in points on our team, so that was nice to see them succeed that way. But we ended up going into that relegation tournament, and I remember to get to that tournament, the bottom four teams would play. So we actually played against Becca's team in a best of seven series. So whoever wins that series is done for the year and you get to go home. And whoever loses that series has to go and play against the third league teams, and then you have to do well to stay up in the second league. And we ended up going to game seven, and I think they won by a goal in game seven. So that was him. That was him done for the year, and that was me. I had another month of trying to stay in this league. So
wow,
it was there were some ups and downs for sure, but it was a great experience overall.
Right, we're nearly 15 minutes in, and we're finally we're getting to Glasgow, and you moved to the Clan back in 2014. Ryan Finnerty brought you to the club. How did Ryan sell the club to you at that time?
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, Ryan didn't sell it as much as Lee Salters did. I wasn't really sure. I remember I was talking to Dundee quite a bit. I was talking to a team in, I think, Slovakia at the time, and I was kind of waiting, and then I remember Glasgow, I think I was their last signing that year, and he kind of asked Salts if he knew anybody, and he said my name, and I talked to Salts, and he told me all about it because he played in Nottingham the year before, so he knew a little bit about it and some of the players that played here. So he gave a great recommendation, and I obviously trusted Salts, and I wanted to play with him again. And it seemed like a good fit from what he was saying.
Now, of course, your first season in Glasgow, that was the season that Brayhead, as they were, finished second in the league, arguably the most successful team that the Clan have had in their 10-year history. And I think you just need to look at some of the guys that came back for Matt Haywood's testimonial that kind of reflects that. Obviously, the likes of yourself was there. Matt Becker was around as well. Chris Frank, all these kind of guys. And it just shows the togetherness there was. Scott Arson, another player as well. How was that season, you know, to come so close in the league and just miss out, but new bonds have been formed?
That was definitely a very, very special season. We had such a good team. We had toughness, we had skill, we had our defense was solid, we had great goaltending, we kind of had it all. And if one guy wasn't playing well, the other guy would pick him up that night, and it was great. I remember we could win 1-0 or we could win 9-8 that year. We just somehow find a way, but it was definitely heartbreaking to lose to Edinburgh to seal it all up, and we ended up losing that game and then ultimately losing the league. So,
but that was the year you decided to go to Australia, a spell in Canberra with the Brave, the team that's down there. 42 points in 19 games, thanks again, Elite Prospects. How much did you enjoy that brief spell that summer in Australia?
Oh, that was a great decision. That was so much fun. That year I was talking to Chris Frank because he played in Melbourne, and I was talking to Haywood. He played over there as well, and he was telling me a little bit about it, and it just seemed like such a great experience. And I was with Lauren over here, and we weren't really sure where we were going to live that summer. And then I was just like, would you like to go to Australia? It could be a good time. We'll see what happens. And she was in, so we decided to go. And I definitely don't regret that. I met a lot of nice people. We saw kangaroos. We saw koala bears. At one point we were in the ocean, and there were killer. There were whales like jumping around us. It was amazing. The people there like really took us under their wing, and it was like a little family over there. It was really cool.
So from there you came back, and it was the Champions Hockey League. What a summer you had.
Yeah, and then unfortunately for Australia, I had to leave a month early in their season, so I didn't get to finish out there. But I got to come back, and we got to go into the Champions League, go over to Sweden and play against Germany, and then come home and play those teams again. And I thought that was pretty special to kind of compare our caliber to their caliber and kind of see where you're at was pretty cool. I thought we did pretty well considering those teams, I think, are on the ice pretty much all summer together, and we're going over to Sweden picking guys up in the airport. So I thought we did well.
When I think back on those games in the Champions League, certainly from my point of view watching them, it felt as though the team learned the more the games went on. There was only four games, as you said. There was the crushing defeat in Vekwa, the first game, a more spirited performance, but defeat against Ingolstadt, ran Vekwa close at home, and then you beat Ingolstadt in the last game. Did it feel as though you learned the more you played those games?
You could definitely say we learned what we had to do, but I think the biggest thing would have just been conditioning at that time. Those guys are training like crazy throughout the summer, and we're just trying to gel as a team. Like in a week, basically. So I thought we did well, and I think we definitely got our legs under us the second week when they came to play us at home, and you could tell with the results.
So 2017, you decided to move on from the Clan. And I wondered if Ryan Finnerty's exit was part of the reason for you going. Did you feel it was maybe time to go at that time with Ryan leaving?
I obviously loved playing for Ryan, and that was all great. But I also had a really good year point-wise that year. And I just thought, like, if I did ever want to see what else was out there or, like, try to make a jump to a bigger league potentially, that this would be kind of my opportunity to do it. So I jumped on it, basically. And especially because, yeah, Ryan was leaving, so there was a lot of unknowns around Glasgow at the time. So it seemed like the right thing to do at the time.
And of course, your destination was Žilina in Slovakia. You didn't stay too long there. Can you reflect on what happened there and what went wrong? Was it just not for you?
Žilina was fun at the start, and it was a different experience. It's tough though. There's only two other imports, and the rest of the guys you couldn't talk to. You could barely communicate with them. So that was definitely tough. But you get past that. The problem was when they're not in you, basically, is when you kind of have issues. And there was a couple other things off ice that weren't going as they should go, basically, and I decided I needed to get out of there before I let it get too far.
So from there, it was back to the UK, and you signed for Manchester, by which time Ryan Finnerty had gone there, of course, after leaving the Clan. Now, it was rumoured that you did think about coming back to Glasgow. I don't know if there was an offer made to you. Are you able to tell us the full story? Was a move to Glasgow coming back on the cards, or was it just not something that never quite materialised?
Yeah, no, it was definitely an option. I talked to Gareth about it, and I was definitely thinking about it, but at the end of the day, I was talking to guys that were here at the time, and it just didn't seem like it would be a good fit for me and who was running the ship at the time. I don't think it would have favoured my play and who I am as a person, so... It was to Ryan and play under him, and I know exactly what to expect, and I enjoy the hockey we have there. And at the same time, there was about six or seven guys on that team that I was very comfortable with and like knew, and they were my buddies, so it was kind of easy to go in that direction.
And what a team. Finished second in the league again with Manchester Storm. Just how good a season was that?
Yeah, that was another really good season for sure. Ryan built a team that was super tough in playing in that building. I think teams would come into Manchester and they'd be a little bit scared to play us. We had Dane Byers, we had Luke Moffat, we had Shane Baker, we had Jay Rosehill, and those are big, tough guys that are running around in a small rink. It's not a lot of fun to play against that. So we definitely used that to our advantage, and we took it. We won a lot of home games. On the other side of it, we had a really good group of guys that all bought in and wanted to play for each other, and we used that to go to the road and play a simple game and come out with 2 points there too. So we did really well, and it's too bad that Cardiff also had an unbelievable year and we just weren't able to catch them. So.
But a return to Glasgow did come, and it came when Pete Russell took over the club after John Tripp left. How quickly was the deal done for you to return to Glasgow? I know you've always said you've always felt right at home in Glasgow, so I guess it was a no-brainer from your point of view.
Yeah, the deal happened fairly quickly. To be honest, I missed Glasgow. I missed playing in front of the Purple Army. I missed the organization. I missed the people here. I missed this is basically like my second home. So. I just really missed playing here, and it was an easy decision to come back.
Now let's look back quickly on Matt Hayward's testimonial last week. The amount of players that came back was fantastic. The fans absolutely loved it. A great night. I'm sure you felt the same from your point of view. And there was a lot of those guys you'd played with or you knew as well. How nice was it for you to see those guys again coming back and being in the room again?
Yeah, I feel like I played with quite a bit of those guys. It was great. It really brought back a lot of memories, and catching up with those guys and kind of hearing where they are now in their lives is really cool. And even seeing some of their kids like growing up and how big they are now is pretty amazing. So it was a very special night for Matt Hayward, and I thought they put on an amazing performance, the event. I feel like it went very smooth, and all their hard work showed. So I'm really happy for Haywood and his family. And yeah, it was great to see all those guys back. And they're definitely a great group of guys that you want to be around and catch up with.
So just how much do you, Lauren, and you've got young Dawson, of course, how much do you love Glasgow? The fact you come here, you come back year after year, you can't wait to be back in the place. Is it a second home for you, really?
Yeah, I think we're almost more comfortable here than we are back in Canada now. We had Dawson here, and going through that whole process was fantastic. We were treated so well, and that went very smooth. They're very good to us, and now, like, having him be able to come to the rink and watch me play is super cool. Like, I always kind of wanted that coming through, and like I'd see some guys have kids and they'd get to experience that. I always thought that would be a special moment, and now I'm kind of living that out, and it's awesome. I definitely am happy I'm doing it here as well. It's a great atmosphere in that rink, and it'll be really cool to look back and show him videos and pictures when he gets older.
Are you going to be the dad that builds him his own rink in the back garden like your dad did?
I think that'll be Grandpa's job, but yeah, we'll definitely get that going.
Just a couple of things before we wrap this up, Scott. Now, in every year you've played in the UK, you've never reached the playoff weekend. A little bit cruel given your years and relative success you've had here. How much would you love to do it at least once before you hang up the skates?
That's all I want to do is get to that playoff weekend. It's very frustrating. I think three of the years we've lost in overtime, and it's tough because I'm pretty sure every year we're the number one seed going into that playoff week, and we just somehow find a way to lose, and it's tough. It's definitely a monkey on my back, and I mean, I can't wait to get to that playoff weekend. All I hear is amazing things, and I'm excited to experience it for myself.
And finally, just before we finish, I don't want to age you here, Scott, but you are the wrong side of 30 now. We can't get away from that. So is this a time when you maybe start looking at what you're going to do in the future, what your plans are going to be? Have you started to think that far ahead yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's always in the back of your head, regardless of your age. But yes, I'm definitely getting up there. I got a few ideas of what I want to do, but nothing concrete. When it is time, we're looking to just kind of settle back home and spend as much time with family and friends and all the events that we miss out on when we are away. It'll be nice to be home for good, for sure. But I'm enjoying every moment here, and I'm not taking it for granted, that's for sure.
Scott Pitt and his fantastic career. That's all from this special edition of Clan Chat, so thank you to Scott for his time and to producer Stuart Priest for his work in putting it all together. Clan Chat is back later this week. We will hear from Matt Poof all about his career in ice hockey. And don't forget about our new podcast, Clan After Battle, where we'll be reviewing the action after home games with me and Jerry McLaughlin. The first one from Saturday's game with Guildford Flames is up now. Get your tickets for Wednesday's game with Nottingham Panthers, face-off at 7:30pm, and Saturday's game with Coventry Blaze, face-off 7pm, by visiting the website clanihc.com. Look out for the latest news on the website, like the official Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram as well at clanihc. Subscribe to Clan Chat and Clan After Battle on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Spotify or Audioboom, and a new one will drop into your device automatically. I'm Craig Anderson, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.